Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. All of us recognize that no profession or occupation has a monopoly on misconduct. Many of us were appalled at the behavior of officers of the United States Navy in what has come to be known as the Tailhook Scandal. We are disgusted when we know of businessmen's cheating, stealing, and lying. We are disappointed when we send men and women to the State House in Tennessee or to the national government in Washington and then learn of their abuse and misuse of power. But worst of all, we are hurt and angered when our elders, deacons, and preachers betray our trust in them. Preachers, priests, rabbis, and other religious leaders create an atmosphere of distrust and doubt when they are sexually immoral, financially irresponsible, or derelict in their duties. It must have been disconcerting when the Jewish people heard our Lord Jesus Christ vigorously attack the conduct of their legal scholars. The lawyers, as Jesus called them in Luke 11:45, were not trial lawyers as we know them in our day. The Greek term for lawyer is nomikos and comes from the term nomos, meaning law. The term meant one who was an expert in the law, not one who argued cases before the courts of law. The term is the equivalent of the Greek grammateus, scribe, or doctor or teacher of the law, Acts 5:34. Dr. Jeffrey Bomley affirms that the Jewish lawyers were Jewish leaders with the responsibility of preserving, studying, and applying the law to the situations of everyday life. In one sense, the lawyers were similar to preachers of the gospel. They were to be diligent students of the law and teach others how to make the law meaningful in their lives. They were not to superimpose their own desires and preferences on the Old Testament, but to draw from the Scriptures what God wanted His people to know. In our Lord's day, the lawyers had forgotten or ignored the task God had assigned them and were mistreating the people they were supposed to be helping. There are many lessons in the passage I have chosen for us to examine today. I'm speaking on the sins of the lawyers, Luke 11:45 through 54. In the preceding section of Luke's Gospel, Luke 11:37 through 44, Jesus had dealt very severely with the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. A Pharisee had invited Christ to eat with him. The Pharisees criticized Jesus because our Lord did not wash before eating, Luke 11:37 and 38. Christ responded to the Pharisees by accusing them of cleansing the outside of the cup and platter, but leaving the inside full of ravening and wickedness, Luke 11:39. The word ravening means graft or extortion. Christ called them fools for not cleansing the inside, Luke 11:40. Jesus instructed the Jews to prove their faith by their deeds, Luke 11:41. The Pharisees were tithing herbs, which they should have done, but neglecting justice and the love of God, Luke 11:42. Jesus also showed the hypocrisy of the Pharisees for their wanting the uppermost seats in the synagogue. To be very blunt, the Jews were guilty of many acts of sheer hypocrisy. As the lawyers listened to Christ's severe reprimand of the Pharisees, they knew that what Jesus said about the Pharisees applied to them also. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, "Master, in saying this, you have reproached us also." Luke 11:45. The word reproach means to insult, to engage in outrageous treatment. The verb form of the Greek means to entreat spitefully, Matthew 22:6, and to use spitefully, Acts 14:5. There are some questions which come to mind as I read these words from Luke 11. Did the Pharisees and the lawyers get the impression that Jesus was attacking their sins directly? can we avoid offending our listeners when we preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Should gospel preachers strive to be like Dr. Norman Vincent Peale or Robert Schuller? Or should they strive to be like Christ and His apostles? Which kind of preaching saves souls? The lawyers clearly understood, and I emphasize the word clearly, that what Christ had said to the Pharisees applied to them also. How do you suppose they came to that conclusion? Had Jesus spoken so plainly that the lawyers could not miss what Jesus was saying? Should preachers who stand in pulpits across our land and who speak on radio and on television imitate Christ's example? How should Christians behave when a lesson applies to them? Should they become angry, or should they learn from the lessons being presented? Our Lord responded to the lawyers by delivering three woes against them. Luke 11, 46-54. The lawyers, Jesus argued, bound burdens on their followers that they, the lawyers, were unwilling to bear. Our Lord said very pointedly, "Woe unto you also, you lawyers, for you laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, but you yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers." Luke 11:46. Is that an unusual phenomenon among leaders, whether political or religious or otherwise? David Koresh of the Branch Davidian cult in Waco, Texas, required his followers to rise very early in the morning, but he himself slept until 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Many cult leaders make stringent demands on their members, but themselves enjoy a luxurious lifestyle. The United States Congress, until January 1955, has had many regulations applying to the average American, but which they themselves did not bother to follow. Whether we are speaking of political or religious leaders, such practices defy good sense and create antipathy toward such leaders. Such attitudes and actions show conclusively that the leaders are not concerned about the welfare of their followers, but only for their own selfish desires. Jesus said to the lawyers, "You laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, but you yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers." A parallel passage in Matthew reads, "For they," that is the Pharisees, "bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves would not move them with one of their fingers." Matthew 23:4. The word "laid" in Luke 11:46 means to load or to burden, to cause someone to carry something. The word "burdens" is a noun form of the same word translated "laid." "Grievous" means difficult to bear. The picture Jesus paints is plain and powerful. The lawyers and the Pharisees wanted to have control over their Jewish brothers and sisters. They designed obligations and responsibilities which were burdensome. They themselves were above such menial tasks, but they expected their followers to abide by them. They preached abstinence, but they were gluttons and winebibbers. They often demanded celibacy, but they were sexually immoral. They assessed the members for heavy financial contributions, but they were stingy and selfish. Does any of this sound like some of the cultic groups which have proliferated in our nation in the past 25 or 30 years? It should not be difficult to understand why Jesus was so caustic in his condemnation of the lawyers and of the Pharisees. In their interpretation and application of the law, the lawyers and Pharisees had added hundreds and hundreds of little picky insignificant rules for the Jewish people. The lawyers bound the Jewish people to obey their interpretation of the law, but they paid no attention to the rules and regulations. How any leaders, Jewish or otherwise, could make such mockery of the law is hard to understand, but it happens over and over in many circles. Tragically and inexplicably, The lawyers pretended to honor the great prophets among God's people, but were like their fathers who had killed the prophets. Jesus said, "Woe unto you, for you build sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them." Luke 11:47. The lawyers of Christ's day wanted to give the impression that they were compensating for the failures of their fathers. They were providing memorials for the prophets their fathers had killed. Their fathers had not listened to the prophets. They had actually killed many of those great men of God. The sons of the murderers were still murdering the prophets. The Jewish lawyers were consenting to the deeds of their fathers. "Truly you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed the prophets, and you build their sepulchres." Luke 11:48. The behavior of the Jewish lawyers made it very plain that they were of the same stock as their fathers. The word "allow" in the expression, "Truly you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your father," means to give approval or consent. The lawyers, by their conduct, showed that they gave their approval to the killing of the prophets. The fathers did not approve of the teachings of the prophets. We do not know how many were actually killed, but there must have been a considerable number. The first Christian martyr asked his Jewish audience, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have now been the betrayers and murderers." Acts 7:52. As an outward show of respect for the prophets, the lawyers built and cared for the sepulchres of the prophets, but inwardly they were just like the ones who had killed them. Our Lord addressed the same attitude in this passage. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, 'If we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets.' Wherefore you are witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets." Matthew 23:29-31. The blood of the prophets would be required of those who actually killed them, but it would also be required of the Jewish lawyers to whom Jesus spoke. "Therefore also said the wisdom of God, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will slay and persecute.'" Luke 11:49. A parallel passage in Matthew says very simply, "I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes." Matthew 23:34. In Luke's account, wisdom is personified. Please think of the implications of our Lord's statement. He claims special insight into the very mind and will of Almighty God. In God's infinite mercy and wisdom, He promised to send the people of Christ's day prophets and apostles. He would provide them the leaders who would reveal God's message to them. But, unfortunately, some of the Jewish people would not receive the prophets and apostles and would slay and persecute them. The book of Acts records the slaying and persecuting of God's messengers. Virtually all who preached the gospel in apostolic days were persecuted in some way. Peter and John were imprisoned for healing the lame man at the beautiful gate of the temple and for preaching Jesus in Jerusalem. Paul was stoned and left for dead in the city of Lystra. He was also imprisoned on several occasions for preaching the gospel. Acts 12 records the death of the apostle James. "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex or to afflict certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword." Acts 12:1-2. Herod saw that his killing of James pleased the Jews. He proceeded to take Peter and slay him too, but he failed. Acts 12:3-following. One of the most tragic slayings in the history of the church was that of Stephen. Stephen accused his hearers of persecuting and killing the prophets. When the Jews heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Acts 7:55-60. If persecution and oppression seem strange to us, and it does to many modern people, we must remember what happened to the prophets and the apostles of the early days of the church. Paul reminded Timothy of the persecutions and afflictions which came to him at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions Paul said he endured. But out of them the Lord delivered Paul. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3:11-12. The Jewish lawyers were guilty of the attitude which brought about the death of the prophets, priests, preachers, and other servants of God. The blood of all the prophets, Jesus said, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. Luke 11:50. Does Jesus mean that the lawyers of his day were guilty of all the blood of all the prophets and other servants of God who were slain in previous generations? Is Jesus saying that guilt is cumulative from one generation to another? He means that he will execute the judgment the Jewish lawyers so richly deserved. His wrath toward those who continually rejected his messengers would be poured out on the lawyers and others who rejected God's Son and his will. The generation to which Jesus spoke certainly paid for their rejection of God's final message to man. Jesus spoke to the lawyers of the blood of the prophets, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Luke 11:51. According to the biblical record, Abel was the first to lose his life because his deeds were righteous and the deeds of his murderer were not. Hebrews 11:4. Zechariah was the last in the Hebrew Bible to give his life for his faithfulness to God. According to the Old Testament record, Zechariah was actually killed in the temple area. These are the Old Testament's words concerning the death of Zechariah. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus says God, Why transgress the commandments of the Lord, that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, The Lord look upon it and require it. 2 Chronicles 24:20-22. The history of the persecution of God's people has to be most disturbing aspects of human behavior. Jesus next pronounces a woe upon the lawyers for taking away the key of knowledge. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You have not entered in yourselves, and them that were entering you hindered. Luke 11:52. The real tragedy of this situation must not be overlooked. The very leaders who were charged with teaching God's people were guilty of keeping truth and knowledge from them. The Scriptures were the key of knowledge. The lawyers obscured the Scriptures with their traditions and with spurious interpretations. For the average man, the Scriptures lost their meaning and application. No wonder James says in the New Testament, My brethren, be not many teachers, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation. James 3:1. God will hold all teachers and preachers to a higher standard because we have set ourselves up as teachers of the Word. Paul asked the Jews of his day, "You therefore which teach another, do you teach yourself? You that preach that a man should not steal, do you steal?" Romans 2:21. In our day, we have hundreds of teachers, preachers, and priests who have made the same grievous mistakes Jesus was opposing in Luke 11. We have added our traditions to the Word, or we have covered the Word with unreasonable interpretations, or we have claimed to receive special words from God Almighty. Through these unscriptural and illegitimate means, we have misled and deceived many who otherwise might have obeyed the gospel. Do you think God will look with kindness and approval on those who have perverted and twisted the truth of God's inspired Word? Every teacher must be careful lest he misconstrue and misapply the inspired Word of God. The lawyers had pretended to lead the people into the path of righteousness, but they themselves had not entered. The lawyers boasted of their knowledge of the Word and their love for it, but they had twisted it and abused it, and really did not understand it or care for it. Dr. A.T. Robertson commented on this verse, "They themselves refused to go into the house of knowledge and learn. Then they locked the door and hid the key to the house of knowledge, and hindered those who were trying to enter." Religious teachers are often the reason other people do not know the teaching of the Bible. The teachers often interpret the Bible in such a way as to benefit themselves and not their hearers. Gloria and Kenneth Copeland are notable examples of this approach to the Scriptures. They promote a name-it-and-claim-it gospel, which has little resemblance to the gospel the apostles preached. They are actually hindering men's and women's understanding of the truth. The lawyers hindered the truth of God by making the keeping of the law a burden so great that no one could possibly receive the benefit God intended. They also misinterpreted the Scriptures and made them almost meaningless to the average person. Not only have the Jewish fathers murdered the prophets who had been sent unto them, but the modern lawyers were using every subterfuge possible to entrap Jesus and to bring about His death. As Jesus said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge Him vehemently and to provoke Him to speak many things, laying in wait for Him and seeking to catch something out of His mouth that they might accuse Him. Luke 11:53-54. As you can imagine, the words Jesus had spoken to the scribes and the Pharisees angered them. They knew He was pointing out just how hypocritical they were in their dealings with their followers. The scribes and the Pharisees began to urge Him vehemently and to provoke Him to speak many things. The Greek in this verse lets us know that the Jews were enraged at what Jesus had said. The word provoke means that the Jews were trying to get Him to talk freely because they thought He would hang Himself with His own mouth. They thought they could get Him to incriminate Himself by His speech. Luke says the Jews were laying in wait for Him, seeking to catch something out of His mouth that they might accuse Him. The Jewish lawyers were like lions lying in wait for their prey. They believed if they gave Him enough rope, He would hang Himself. They were not interested in our Lord's answers, except to try to entrap Him and to get Him in trouble with the Jewish authorities. But before we are too critical of the Jewish lawyers, we must examine ourselves to ascertain whether or not we are guilty of the same blunder. We teachers and preachers have awesome responsibilities in the interpretation and the application of God's book. We must not so obscure the Word that it becomes useless and meaningless to our hearers. We must not apply the Scriptures to others and refuse to apply them to our own lives. how ineffective and hypocritical for us to require more of others than we are willing to do. We must remember that God will hold us accountable for studying and applying the Word of God to our own lives. May I plead with all the preachers and teachers in my audience today that we learn from this great teaching in Luke 11. Our Lord wants us to teach and to preach, but He wants us to study carefully, preach lovingly, to live honestly before men and before God. My friends, we thank you for listening to our lesson today. Please continue to listen. If you have questions or comments, I am very deeply concerned about hearing from you. Thank you, and may God bless you.